Hello. I am so excited because it is another episode of M's Gems. So it is a party. Okay. So Christina, who is in Australia, that's why she left her question. So her question was, I have a program that's been filmed. My goal for my business is to have an automated system so people can buy the home study program without me. I just really don't know where to start. What I'm currently doing is uploading the program and putting it as listed YouTube links so it's a product. For now, I don't want to add any extra support yet and just want it to be a product. So, yes, so lost. How do I make it a thing when someone clicks the link, buys my program, gets an email with a link to that YouTube playlist where my course is? Okay. So, I think since you already have this done and your goal is to have passive income coming from this, people buying this by themselves, what I would say is since it's already on YouTube and listed as a product, your goal, Christina, with selling this to your audience, and this can be considered like a signature offer for you going forward, is you get to really it's not just to sell this thing. We're very, very stuck in, or a lot of coaches are stuck in, this short-term thinking where it's like, oh, what do I need to post? Or they only show up or they're only consistent when they have something to sell. And I think, Christina, with you, in order for people to not only make this course that you've created a household name, but also make your coaching business and you like a household name, I think we get to really focus on warming up your audience, building a brand, building a hot audience, and really getting your brand out there to as many people as possible. So I think I go over this literally in every single M's Gems, but it's fine. It is a common thing that people are working on. It is something that a lot of people are confused about as to what do I do if I'm just starting out? What do I do if I have an ice cold audience, but I'm already really established? What do you do then? So I have two different answers for this, and I've been through obviously so many stages. So when I was first starting out, even when I pivoted into business coaching, I really needed to build my authority and my reputation. So my feed was very much value, 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 tips, tricks, strategies, things that I felt like I was called to teach, things that I wanted to stand for regardless of what I was selling. So there was evergreen value posts. So these were posts that really stood the test of time. These were posts that my ideal client could use at any time of the year. It's evergreen, right? So it wasn't specific to a time of year. And then I was putting out seasonal value. So when it was the end of the year, I was putting out a lot of value posts about it being the end of the year, like what to sell before the end of the year. Or if it was coming around the holidays and my ideal client was going to be around a lot of family members, because in the beginning, I was just focused on coaching beginners because that's what I felt the most confident in coaching. I didn't feel confident yet to coach people who were ready to scale beyond 20K months, right? But as my business grew, this ideal client grew in terms of who I was able to coach. So they were at different levels eventually, whereas in the beginning, it was just one person. So when it would get around the holidays and my client would be around relatives and stuff who are kind of in their ear going how's the coaching business going? Or when are you going to get a real job or anything like that? I was making value posts that were going to support my ideal client with that time of year. So this is considered seasonal value because me making that post in the middle of March isn't going to make sense because that isn't the holiday season. It's not when they are around their loved ones most likely. So that was what I was putting out. So this was 90% of my feed. Then in between, it was me telling my personal story then to now. So what this looks like is you guys will see me whenever I tell a story from the past, I'm not just telling the general overview. So it's not just me putting what would be on the back of my autobiography, like the synopsis of how I went from corporate fashion all the way to where I am at today. It would be about something specific about what has evolved over the years. So how I used to sell when I started my business versus how I sell now, right? It's something specific about that time period. Whereas a lot of times I see coaches put out, the synopsis of their autobiography as their personal story post, and that's where you lose people. Because this is a really funny reference, but if anyone was watching the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial as it was going on, I know for me, I was like listening to the podcast interviews about it, and there was this body language expert that I heard an interview about, and she was analyzing the trial at the time. And whatever you want to hear and have your opinion about Johnny versus Amber or whatever, that's not the point of this example. I have my answer, but this is not the point of the example. So she was studying basically their body language during the trial. And what she said was something that she picked up is the reason why the jury found it very, very hard to connect with Amber, regardless of what you think. This is like factual. They felt it very difficult to connect with her when she would be telling stories because she would be starting a story and then she would go into another one. Like she would randomly bring up something else in the middle of the story and then go in that direction. So her stories were very stop and start. Whereas when Johnny would share his experience, he literally told a story from start to finish, how he was feeling, what was going on, what was he seeing, what was the environment like. So the jury was able to connect with him a lot more because he zoomed in on a specific moment, right? So that is what I want you to think of, right, when you're creating your personal story post, not necessarily the trial, but how can you zoom in on a specific moment or a thing about that time period, okay? Then there's your personal story now. So this is just like, honestly, I make these posts as they come up. For me now, I'm at a point in my business where I have really built up a lot of authority and reputation in my space. So now I'm moving more into mentorship kinds of posts than I am very like coachy kinds of posts, right? So yes, there's still value. You guys always like, if you scroll, there's so much value on my feed. But it's like for a while I was catching myself, and this was like a conversation with my mentor recently, and she's like, Em, I just think you're so far past that. Like you have taught your audience to death strategy, and now you're feeling really called to have more mentorship kinds of posts where you are posting more about the work you're doing behind the scenes. You are posting more about the wisdom that you have to share, your personal experiences. And so I think that everybody reaches that point in their business. I'm starting to see some of my clients do that as well. And I think it's really exciting because it's still value. It's just that you are looking to not so much like teach as much, right? But they're still teaching content. It's just not as frequently as it was in the beginning because you were still building up your reputation and authority. So when I teach content to cash flow, a lot of times when people take that course, they have a cold audience, right? So they don't have a hot audience yet where people are consistently reaching out to them. So it's like, yes, you get to keep doing that, right? So even when I transitioned my business model from going from sales calls and DM strategies to selling in my stories and attraction marketing and building a hot audience, my audience was ice cold. Even though I had 10K followers, right? And I had a lot of clients and I was making a lot of money, my sales were coming from these like bro marketing strategies that I had been told that I had to do to sign clients. It wasn't from attraction marketing. So my audience was technically still cold and I needed to warm them up. So even like this entire year, I was still doing a lot of coachy types of posts because I needed to warm up my audience, right? And now my audience is at a place where it's not that I just don't do that anymore. I still do them. It's just now I have more freedom and leverage to share more of like, here's what I'm doing in my business. Here's what I'm working on with my mentor. Or me just simply creating content from a place of what do I want to talk about? Not what people want to hear, right? Not what's going to be relatable, but what do I want to talk about? What is something I'm seeing in my industry, right? That is still going to position you as an expert, as an authority, because people are like, ooh, like she is calling out things that she's not seeing or things that she wants to see more of. Like she is already an expert in my mind because she still gives me a lot of value. It's very clear she knows what she's talking about, but I also want to connect with her as a human. Now, why these posts, like your personal story then, your personal story now, and I would say personality content where you just are sharing your personality, maybe it's something funny you're putting out or an audio from a reel that you really want to use to talk about something in your industry that's kind of like a funny way of using the audio. It could be something that's relatable to other coaches that do what you do, right? So if I made a post that a lot of business coaches could relate to, I just made one. I think that was Wednesday night. So I posted twice that day, which like I don't normally do, but this post just came to me like literally like a wall. It just like hit me and I'm like, okay, I get to say this. And it was, hi, I'm not the rehab for the shitty investments you made in the past. It's not my responsibility to make up for the self-forgiveness work you're avoiding doing yourself. Thank you for my TED Talk. So why that got so much attention is because that was really relatable to a lot of coaches, right? But it was also really relatable to people that do what I do. So like a lot of business coaches do experience that. So it's like they are sharing that post to their stories, right? And then their audience is seeing me. So inevitably, just by doing posts like that, I get new people coming into my world all the time. I also just have great programs and really believe in what I do. So it's like, it's word of mouth also, you know, and it's like, I also include, this is more so like the content I'm going to be doing more of going forward, but like, I really, really do not hold back with what I say in terms of like, regardless of how uncomfortable it is for me to talk about, like that was really uncomfortable for me to post. Like that post about not being the rehab for people's past shitty investments. But again, it was something I wanted to say. It was something that I believe in. I believe it's something that is very unfair in terms of when someone goes from making kind of a crappy investment and then putting it on their next coach or putting pressure on them, like, which is just a reflection of the pressure they're putting on themselves. Like, you know, I feel like that needs to be said, right? So I do not have a filter at all. The way that I talk, and I'm going to give you guys some tricks and hacks and ways that I've gotten really comfortable doing this, but the way that I literally talk to my audience, so how I would type out a post, how I talk on a reel, is exactly how I talk to my boyfriend, my mentor, my best friend, right? Like there is no online, offline M. There's just M, right? So that's why people are able to connect with me so much. And the importance of this content is because this personality content, you sharing your story, you sharing your wisdom, you sharing what you're doing in your business, here's why that's just as important as value content where you're teaching, is because to me, you're still teaching, right? Like you're showing behind the scenes, you're showing what you're doing. But here's what this is also doing. With what you do, let's say you have a mastermind and you have private coaching. There are a million masterminds out there. There's a lot of private coaches, right? Or coaches who offer private coaching, right? One-on-one. But what is going to make someone invest in you is literally them knowing your heart, them knowing your story, them knowing your personality, them vibing with your values, right? So this is why that content where you are sharing those kinds of things, it is literally just as important as you sitting there writing a post, teaching five tips to do something, right? Like literally it's just as valuable. So I just want to say that it's like not a matter of like, okay, one is better than the other. It totally depends on where you're at in your business. Like I really, really did. If you guys scroll back, you can see, like, I really, really did prioritize value types of posts. Like, I was teaching all the time, but it was things I wanted to teach on. Here is the big, big disclaimer. I was not teaching things that I thought I had to teach, right? So it's not like in 2020 and in 2019 especially, I was not teaching how to do sales calls because I thought I had to teach how to do sales calls. I was teaching sales calls because I fucking loved teaching sales calls. Like I was so good at them. I loved connecting with the person, right? And I was like, I kind of have a system that I've been doing and I just want to teach, right? So I want to teach people how to not be scared on sales calls. I want to teach people how to just have a conversation and make it about the other person, right? So it was like, even though I was like teaching a lot, it was things I wanted to teach on. So I was never looking at other business coaches and going like, oh, what should I teach on? Like, how do I build authority? It was just like, what does M want to stand for? Oh, I really like teaching content. At the time, I really liked teaching a DM strategy because I kind of created my own. It was pretty dope. But I created my own. And then I wanted to teach my sales call strategy. And then it was like how to create an offer and other things like that. But now it's evolved so much because my business has evolved. And I just think it's like really, really trusting that you do know what you want to talk about, right? It's like you know yourself better than anyone. And it's like that's what keeps your business sustainable is when the things that you talk about in your brand, including the stories that you tell, including like the things you show your audience that you're doing, including the things that you call out, or like you say something really uncomfortable to your audience, like you always have to come back to by me saying this, like how am I making the person on the other end feel? And is that emotion or energy that I'm making them feel really a true representation of my brand? Or is it just like me like having a Dear Diary moment and being super frustrated and just like kind of taking it out on my audience? Another thing, oh, I have like two more things that I want to talk about this. So the other thing is the things that you post on your feed to your audience, it's basically like you putting up an ad or a billboard and saying, hey, if you're going to become a client of mine, these are what our conversations are going to be like. So I'm very, very strategic with like, if I don't want to have certain conversations with clients, right? Like for me, for the longest time, I thought and put pressure on myself that I had to teach people how to build a team and build systems for their team. And I was like, fuck that. I do not want to teach that at all. Like it's like very, very important, right, to know those kinds of things, but like I don't want to teach that. Like it's just not my expertise. It's not where I want to like put my energy, right? So it was deciding that and being very unapologetic about that. Now, if someone became a private client and they were like, I'm about to hire someone, M, what do I do? Or like, how did you get ready for this? Of course, I have personal experience, right? And of course, I would guide them through that. It's not like I'm gonna be like, no, we're not talking about that. It's just, I don't wanna lead with that. I don't want that to be like the primary reason that someone hires me. Or they think I'm this like robotic like business coach that's just gonna teach them systems and processes. Like it's like totally, I am the most creative, like heart-centered, but also like I know my shit in terms of strategy kind of business coach. Like I just feel like there's such a blend of like feminine and masculine energy in my business. Like I'm like, I totally know how to support you with leaning back, surrendering, learning how to receive more, owning your worth, all these things. But I also know how to teach you to get shit done, right? Like, I know how to lay out the strategy. I know how to teach you launching. I know how to make sales really simple for you, content. And so I feel like it's this beautiful blend and balance of both. So in my content and the things I choose to talk about, I kind of look at my feed as that. Like, how can I kind of balance out these energies? Because when someone comes into my world, it's a balance of those two. So, just something to think about. That was the question that was posted. It was kind of a big, it's a big answer. Like, it's not just like I'm gonna be like, yeah, like, so obviously from here, I would take that course that you've built, right? And if you want this to be like the first offer that you put out, because right now, like, you don't wanna add any additional support, which, by the way, at any time, if you don't want to be on as many calls or you don't want to be doing as many live trainings, like you can always turn to things like courses. I personally have never built courses out this way. Like I cannot sit behind my computer on a Saturday and just start filming. I would literally rip my hair out. Like I just cannot create that way. Like I'm somebody where I do really well creating live. So that's why like my group programs are set up the way that they are because I just teach really, really well that way. So it's that, but it's also like when I would go to sell this thing, I would have a formal launch. So like as I'm creating the course, so maybe like you personally need to like wrap up the branding or you need to like do something with the branding, that's totally fine. It's like, okay, cool. Now, how are we going to start teasing it to your audience? Well, show them the behind the scenes of you wrapping up those details. And then literally, you can either have, I mean, the launch process that I do is I will have four different pricing like during a launch. So I have pre-pre-sales, which is the lowest price it's ever going to be, which you decide what that is, right? Based on how many modules, based on the long-term ROI, based on your personal experience, based on the results that you've helped others get or even have gotten yourself, right? So that is like the first phase that lasts 48 hours. Then I usually release the branding somewhere in there, right? Because this is like my launch philosophy. And I highly recommend that you guys take Slayer Launch because it literally breaks this entire thing down. I am just giving a general overview right now. But with these phases of a launch, it's like I always use the onion analogy, and I fucking wish I had a better analogy because I hate raw onions, actually. I get sick off of them. Cooked onions are fine, like on a burger or something, but anyway, an onion regardless has layers, right? Like Shrek. So when you peel back each layer, right, you finally get to the core of the onion, right? So the way I think of a launch and the way I explain it is as you're peeling back each layer, you're going through each phase of the launch. So you're revealing more and more details as you peel back each layer. So pre-pre-sales, when you first put out an offer, you don't want to reveal the whole thing. So like for you with this course, it would be like, here's what I've been creating for the past couple weeks. So I always storytell, guys. When I'm introducing an offer, I'm talking about an offer. You guys will notice this in my stories. I'm literally always storytelling when I present something. So this is just me like literally telling what happened or literally telling how I thought of the offer. So I will say things like, yeah, I was just like literally on a walk and I was Voxering my mentor and we were talking about like what I'm gonna create next in February, right? So I really want to create a space that's about this, and is going to help you with this, right? Introducing my new course, blah, blah, blah. And then you say the name, then you say the end transformation, and then you say you can sign up now at the lowest price it's ever going to be. DM me for details. And then just start putting in a timer in your stories that's going to go off in 2 days, right? So that would be like an example of pre-pre-sales. I did not reveal a lot of details yet because I'm just putting the thing out there for the first time. Then it's like I wait a couple days and then I will reveal the branding. So if I did pre-pre-sales like Monday and Tuesday into like Wednesday morning, then on like Friday, I will just release the branding. So that's like peeling back another layer because you're revealing more details about the thing. Like you're like, this is the vibe, this is what it looks like, this is the font, this is the whole feel. So that's the point of just releasing the branding. So that day, I don't talk about anything else about the offer. I'm just like, hey guys, here's the branding for the new course. Like, what do you think? And I have my audience like vote on it. Then come the following Monday and Tuesday, now I'm doing pre-sales. So now that we're entering another phase, we can reveal a little bit more details about the course because we're going further into the launch. So now I might talk about, okay, this course is for you if, and then I will list out three or four different specific desires that this person wants. So I don't say things like, you want to get to the next level. It's like, what? Like when I used to see those kinds of stories when I was like first starting out in my coaching business back in 2018, I used to read stories like that and be like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what does the next level mean when it comes to me? Like, because that's exactly what your ideal client is thinking. They're like, okay, like this all sounds great, but how does this apply to me? So the more specific, like in your head desires or in your ideal client's head desires that you can list out when saying what something, who something is for, that's amazing. So I would like, that's how I would talk about it maybe on day one. And then like the last day of pre-sales, which is just another price increase. So if the course at pre-pre-sales was $100, maybe pre-sales is $200. Okay. So it goes up a little bit in price each phase. So pre-sales is now 48 hours again. And I might say like, this is for you if, and then I'm just revealing a little bit more detail. So now I'm pre-qualifying people and letting them know this course is for you if you want these things. Here's the name, here's the end transformation, DM me for details. Then it's like maybe the next day, now I'm saying like, imagine if you could feel this, and this. So maybe now I'm listing out outcomes that this person could get from taking this course. Right, is another way that I'm revealing more. So now I just talked about who it's for. They already know the name, they already know the branding. Now they know what could happen if they take this course. And then it's like, DM me for details. Pre-sales are about to go away. Blah, blah, blah. So then, and again, how long a launch is totally depends on the temperature of your audience. So now it's like pre-pre-sales and pre-sales are always 48 hours each. I always say that to my clients, like, regardless of what temperature your audience is, those are the two phases that don't really change. It's early bird and regular pricing where I would adjust them based on the temperature of your audience. So for me, I only really need like 5 days for early bird pricing, at most 7. But before, I need like 10 or 12 days of early bird pricing because my audience was still really cold. So I would judge that for you, right? So this is going to be another price increase. So now maybe it's $300 the course, and now I'm revealing more things. So now I'm actually going to get into, here's what we are covering in the course, because now we're in the middle of the launch. So by now you're attracting people that are like, okay, Em, I've heard you talk about this thing. Like, I need more details. I need to know, like, if this is going to help me. So you're going to list out what you're going to be covering. You're going to list out the logistics on the next day. So by like day 3 or 4 of early bird pricing, your entire audience should know what's going to be included and who it's for and what's inside and what's going to be taught and all that stuff. Okay. So if they get lifetime access to the course, maybe that's just the logistics, because this isn't like a group program, so there's no like start date or anything like that. So that's fine. And then let me think. As you get into like the end of early bird pricing and the beginning of regular pricing, this is just where like I just continue to story tell every day. So it might be like something I'm doing in my day kind of relates to something that I'm going to be teaching in the course. So if I taught a course about like building a hot audience and attraction marketing, and I just put an offer out there and all these people are DMing me for it, it's like, oh, this is now my reality. So this is where documenting and selling comes into play, where I don't want you guys to think, ooh, like, I have to get up stories today as this like separate thing that's outside of you. I really, really encourage you from the beginning to have this mindset of, what if I just show my audience what I'm doing during my day? That's just normal for me, right? So when I was a fitness coach, it was getting up in the morning and automatically just putting on my gym clothes and automatically just getting in the car and automatically having pre-workout. And automatically, like, getting to the gym, automatically knowing what muscles to hit, that is automatic for me. For my ideal client, that is not automatic, right? Like, that is not second nature yet. Like, they're even struggling to time manage in their workout. Whereas for me, it's like that's always been dialed. Like, I've always known how to fit it in some way, shape, or form. So it's like me documenting that and being like, this is what I did today in the gym. This is what I'm eating. This used to not be normal for me. I used to like question what I had to eat in order to like stay a certain size. I used to walk into the gym and just immediately resort to the cardio machines, right? Now I know exactly what muscles to hit in order to like maintain the body that I want. This is exactly what I teach my clients in my private coaching or one-on-one fitness coaching, the blah, 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 if you have a name for it. This is where I'm going to help you not only reach your goals, but create a lifestyle out of it, right? So that you eventually have these things be automatic for you too. I have 3 spots. DM me for details. Like, that's what I mean. That's an example of documenting and selling. I am just showing what I'm doing in my day-to-day, what is currently my reality that didn't used to be my reality and definitely isn't my ideal client's everyday reality. And then how can I show that and then tie it to my offer, right? That makes creating and selling so much easier. And guys, you can't fake this part either. Okay? So I was a little harsh in my post last night, and it was kind of funny the way that I said this, but the sad part is that it's actually true. So it says you pose for a quick boomerang, but actually feel really unhappy with your life unless there is an immediate result. I used to be that person, okay? So that's why I was hustling to get on sales calls and do DM strategies, because me showing my life and acting like I was internally really happy with myself and that I wasn't dependent on external things to feel happy was a fucking facade, was fake, was for social media. Like, I was in a relationship I was unhappy in, right? Where I wasn't getting my needs met. I mean, I was so hard on myself, just about everything. Like, my body wasn't good enough. Like, what I did with my business wasn't good enough. No income I made that month was going to be high enough. I put a lot of pressure on myself to look a certain way or be a certain way, to have this person that I was with be more in love with me. Like, my insecurities were at an all-time high, right? I was breaking boundaries left and right with clients in order to maintain relationships. Like, I was a broken human being. Who was very, very dependent on the next sale, a client re-signing, a client's opinion of me, the way my boyfriend looked at me that day, the compliments he gave me or not, to feel confident and happy and powerful and successful. So my confidence was like this constantly. And it was like this when I would get a sale. It was like a dopamine hit. And then as the day went on, it would go down. Or I'd wake up the next day and feel like I'd have to, like, oh, I need that dopamine hit all over again. And I would look for it in these external things. Whereas now I'm at a place where I know how to self-source it. Validation, security, feeling enough. Like, we all have our insecure moments, don't get me wrong. Okay? It's not like I'm completely perfect. But it took years of really looking at that. And as I was evolving, as I was healing a lot of these things, people felt that when I would smile or pose for a boomerang, or I would show my life, or I would talk about how amazing things were going, it wasn't fake. It didn't feel forced. People can pick up on that shit so quickly. And so the real work, guys, is yes, the strategy and doing that consistently. But keep doing it even if you have these things to clean up, right? Because if you really prioritize looking at maybe where you don't like your life enough to document it, maybe where you don't like your relationships enough to feel genuinely happy when you show up, clean that shit up while you are doing the strategy. What I made the mistake of doing for literally 2 years is exhausting myself doing the strategy while this stayed the same. And I thought that if I got more successful, this would clean itself up. And it didn't. Okay? I took you guys to church today, but I hope that you guys got value out of that. This is good. Amazing. Well, I love you, and I will talk to you soon.